Shalom everyone and welcome to the series Inside Psalms. Today we'll be delving into Psalm number 1. We'll start by reading the Psalm. I'll be using the Koren Publishing translation with a little bit of changes that I made on my own. So let's read the Psalm. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of jesters. But his delight is in the Torah of the Lord, and in his Torah he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted on streams of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf shall not wither. And in whatever he does, he shall prosper. Not so the wicked, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. So the first thing to understand about this psalm, the very first psalm that opens the book of Psalms, is that it is not a prayer, it is rather a description, it's an observation. It's an observation on something very, very fundamental in life, that we stand at a crossroad. Basically, as human beings living in this world, we stand at a crossroads, and there are two paths that we can walk on. One path is easier, it's more tempting, it's a short route and a shortcut, and that's the one that is easier to take. But the other path is more arduous, it's maybe longer, but it's the right one, it's the path of the righteous. So here the two paths are described as the path of the righteous and the path of the wicked. The path of the righteous leads to prosperity and to being acknowledged by God, and the bad path, the wrong path, leads to everything we're doing being like chaff driven away by the wind and to perishing. So that's the most basic thing we need to see here. Now what we want to do now is we want to focus on the first three verses and really open them up and see what they're able to teach us. So this is the first verse. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of jesters. So we'll start with just the first word. The first word here is blessed. In Hebrew, this is the word ashrei. And beautifully, this word in Hebrew really has two meanings. One of them is blessed. That's the word used in this translation. The other is happy. Happy is the man who does not walk, etc. So this is already is a wonderful, amazing thing to learn. When we're thinking about the two paths, then usually one path seems to lead to instant happiness. And the other one is harder and more difficult, but blessed is the man who chooses the right path. But if you hear the Hebrew word ashrei, and you realize that it's one and the same thing, then we have our first lesson that we learned from Psalms. Right here, the very first word, the right way, the blessed way, is also the way to true happiness. It's not contradictory. It's not that if you have to forsake happiness, let go of happiness and take the hard road, take the difficult road. No, if you take the road that's blessed, that's the one that you know to be right, then ultimately that's the one that's going to make you more happy. Now, before we go into the continuation of the verse, I want to mention another thing about this one word. So if you watch or listen to the introduction, the previous video, I said that the five books of Psalms is divided into five books. They correspond to the five books of Moses. That means that this is the very first psalm. It's the opening of the first book of Psalms. It corresponds to the book of Genesis. And more in particular, the very first verse would correspond in some way to the very first verse of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And indeed, very beautifully, this Hebrew word, ashrei, that means both blessedness and happiness. This word ashrei is exactly the four inner letters of the very first word of Genesis, Bereshit. Bereshit, in the beginning, is six letters long. If you take away the first letter, take away the last letter, you're left with four letters. And these are the same letters as the letters of this word, Ashrei. So you can really feel the connection between the first word of Genesis, first word of the five books of Moses, and the first word of Psalms. And what it means here is that this word is like that. What does it mean? That it's the inner letters, the letters that are in the middle, in the center of the word Bereshit, in the beginning. It means that this is the heart of Genesis. It's the heart of Genesis. Genesis describes the creation of the world in 6 days and then the day of the Sabbath. And it's all like this objective bird's eye view of creating reality, objective reality. But here in Psalms, we're focusing on the middle letters, the central letters that are at the heart of Genesis. And this describes the subjective moral dilemmas of human beings. We are the souls that inhabit the world created in Genesis. So the world created in Genesis, that's an objective reality. But we are subjectively going through it. We are experiencing from within, and we have to choose the right path. So the moral drama or dilemma of Psalms is really like the inner drama of Genesis. Genesis is a description of the world, and Psalms is a description of the inner battle that human beings go through in the world. So just this in and of itself is very, very beautiful. Now I want to point out the three verbs that we have here. And basically we have a three-step deterioration of what happens to the man who chooses the wrong path. So blessed is the man, we start positively, but then we talk about what he abstains from doing. So blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So first it's walking, and it's walking in the counsel of the wicked. And then it's standing in the way of sinners. And then it's sitting in the seat of jesters. So it's walking, standing, sitting. This really is a process of descent into passivity. We're descending into passivity. First, we're walking, we're active. At some point, we slow down, we stand, and then we sit. So it's a deterioration. And also, let's see what it means. So first, we walk in the counsel of the wicked. We're not really doing anything bad. We're just following their, we're listening to the wicked. We're following their counsel. We're on their path. We can still walk away. We're walkers, we're movers. We can change direction. But we just walk in that general direction. We want to hear. We want to hear counsels from everyone. Let's hear what the wicked say. So, okay, you can still return from that situation because you can walk it back. Then there's another step. As the more you listen to them and the more you become confused and convinced, you start standing there. Once you start standing there, which means you say, well, you know, let's hear it some more and let's be part of this gang, this group. This is not just wicked. Wicked is just counsel, it's just advice, it's just their intention is negative. But now we're talking about actual sinners, because once you stand with them and you're there in their situation, today in politics, people say, I stand with Israel, or I stand with someone else. I stand with, so you start standing with them, you become part of them, and this is already, because you stopped walking, you stopped moving, this is in a way you're sinning. Now, the final one is the most interesting one. Here you're sitting, so it's the ultimate passivity and you're settling in. But the weird thing is jesters, that's worse than the wicked and the sinners. I would think the wicked and the sinners, by the way, the wicked and the sinners are repeated and they're addressed again in the following verses. But the jesters, no, they only appear in this verse. And that appears much less bad than being a sinner or someone wicked. But it's not really true. The jester is really the worst. The jester is the cynic. The cynic is someone who sits in one place. He's in this sedentary mode. And he only wants to make fun of everyone else. And he's not walking anywhere. He's not doing anything. But he just wants to make fun of everyone. And in many, many ways, this cynical state is the worst. Why is it the worst? Because they're totally desensitized. They're experts in making fun of everyone, but their hearts have been dulled. And so this state of being the cynic is really the worst place you can be. That's like the ultimate in this kind of moral deterioration. So really what it says here is that inaction is even worse in some senses or in some cases than bad action. If you're in this total passive mode that makes fun of everyone else, you're not really doing anything, everything is like a joke to you, this inaction, this passive state of inaction is really much worse than the wicked and the sinners. Okay, so this is the second verse of the psalm. But his delight is in the Torah of the Lord, and in his Torah he meditates day and night. So I want to point out two things in this verse. The first is that if you notice, it says here, in his Torah he meditates night and day. The word his is written with a lowercase h. This is really an interpretive decision on the part of the translators, because in Hebrew this is ambiguous. There are two ways of reading this verse. The first is that it's the person's delight in the Torah of the Lord, and in his, capital H, his Torah, he, the person, meditates day and night. So this is really repeating the notion of the Torah of the Lord twice. His delight is in the Torah of the Lord, that's one. And in his, capital H, Torah, he meditates night and day. So both expressions, Torah of the Lord and his Torah, refer to the Torah of God. But the second interpretation, which is the one used here when we're using lowercase h, is that there's a shift here. At the first expression, the Torah of the Lord, refers to the God's Torah. But the second one, his Torah, that means the Torah of the person studying. And the reason that translators chose to use a lowercase h, and the reason that I left it this way, is that according to most interpreters, there's something very beautiful going on here. When we're learning Torah, it starts out not being our Torah. It's God's Torah. It's the Torah of the Lord. It's something external to us. It's this divine light coming from outside of us. It's this book, this holy book. We're learning it. It's a bit alien to us, and we're trying to figure out how we relate to this book. But the more we delight in this book, the more we meditate on this book, then we integrate it until at some point it becomes our own Torah, his Torah with a lowercase h, not God's Torah, our Torah. This really connects to what we spoke about in the introductory video, the previous video. We said that we have the five books of Moses that are the transcendent light that's coming from above to below, and then that's refracted and reverberates within our subjective reality, and then there's a returning light that goes from the bottom up. So this is really what we see in this verse. We started with the Torah of the Lord, that's like the Torah of Moses, and then through Psalms, among other things, which is a transformation of Torah study into prayer, that we are integrating the Torah into ourselves, and then a new, more personal Torah emerges, which can be defined as our Torah. So that's a beautiful thing to be learned from this verse. Second point I want to make regarding this verse is meditate night and day. So this can be understood in two ways. One is that you need to be non-stop, 24 hours inside the Torah. That's impossible for most, if not all, people. There are exceptions. There are very, very righteous, exceptional people, and they can be immersed in Torah learning and Torah thought all day. Most of us cannot. So how do we live this verse? How do we really integrate it into our lives? So the answer is, you need to study a little bit during the day and a little bit during the night. These are two modes of learning. When you're learning in the day, it's finding some time during the day, even if you're working or studying, find a little bit of time, open up a space to learn some Torah. But also during the night, and that's a totally different energy, different vibe. It's when you're restful, you're outside of your work or study hours, and you're opening up a little bit of a window to study Torah. On a deeper way, the night and day metaphor stands for learning the Torah in a rational, conscious way. That's the day mode. When you learn the revealed level of the Torah, that's like the day of the Torah. And then there's also going into the deeper, more hidden layers of the Torah, the secret layers of the Torah, and that's like the night mode. like the moon aspect of the Torah, right? It's the lunar aspect. It has to do with things that are not so rational. They're super rational. They have to do with night, with hiddenness, with the concealed level. So that's another way of understanding this. We need to have both. We can't just learn the revealed level of the Torah, nor just the concealed level of the Torah. We need both. Let's go on to the third verse. And he shall be like a tree planted on streams of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf shall not wither, and in whatever he does, he shall prosper. Okay, so here we have a beautiful metaphor of a tree, and we have four different levels. The metaphor of the tree is broken down into four different aspects or parts of the tree. So the first one is we need to be planted on streams of water. That has to do with the roots. The roots need to be planted in a space, in a place that's nourishing, that has water that we can be constantly nourished by. What would that be? That would be faith in God and connection to the Torah. Faith and connection to the Torah, that's the real water. In the world of the sages, the water is the main metaphor for the Torah. So we want to plant ourselves in the ground, be grounded in Torah. Now, before I go on, I need to explain that when we're thinking about human beings as a tree and we're thinking about being rooted in faith, we should really imagine a kind of upside down tree. The upside down tree means that the roots are in heaven, so to speak. The roots are connected to faith, to God. And then we're going downwards and downwards until we bear fruit. So bearing this in mind, let's go on and we'll see something interesting. So after we're planted in heaven, in the heavenly waters of the Torah, we are talking about bringing forth the fruit and then the leaves that shall not wither. So here there's a very important interpretation by the sages. So the sages say, what are the fruit that we're bearing? The fruit that we're bearing, they're talking about righteous people. The righteous people, they speak Torah ideas, ideas of faith, ideas of connection to God, ideas of learning the Torah. That's like their fruit. What are their leaves? Their leaves are their casual talk. That's the talk that they just talk about mundane things. And they talk, without giving it too much thought. They just talk about something. And then the sages say, for a righteous person, even their leaves, their mundane talk, shall not wither. That is, you need to learn, you need to think and listen to how they speak. When you're seeing someone righteous, someone who a holy person, and they're talking, everything they're saying, in a way, you can learn something from the way they say it, from how they say it, from what they're not saying, from the way they approach people, the way they talk about, you know, life. So in a way, what we have here is we're going down the tree, right, from the roots. So we go to the level of the head, the intellect, thoughts, and then we're going to the level of the heart and emotions. And this is perfectly what the fruit and the leaves are. The fruit is our conscious thoughts. We have our thoughts, we learn things, and then we say the things that we want to say. And for the righteous person, that would be the holy Torah talk of what they teach. But then we go down further to the level of the emotions, it's called emotional attributes. And these are like the leaves, they're not fruit, it's the foliage. So the foliage is just what we say most of the day, most of the time. We're going through life and we're talking. But if our attributes, our emotional attributes are at the right place, if we are conducting ourselves properly, and if we're rectifying our attributes and the way we talk and the way we feel, the way we think, then our leaves also shall not wither. They're not going to wilt and, you know, fly in the wind. So we moved from the what we can call the superconscious or soul root planted in the waters of faith and Torah. And then we move to the level of intellect, that's our conscious thoughts that come out as fruit. And then we're going to the emotional level, that's the leaves. And finally, we have the final element. In whatever he does, he shall prosper. This means that this is really coming full circle with the roots of faith. Why? Because whatever he does, that means that's our fruit and our leaves as they leave us. Right? Even the word leaves mean that it suggests that at some points the leaves what we say, it leaves us, it comes out of us, and it starts blowing in the wind, and it starts going somewhere. So, and that is out of our hands. We want our actions, our words, to influence the world in a way, in a positive way, in a way that prospers, in a way that succeeds. It's not going to come out in vain. So this is really a prayer that if we connect our roots to faith, and if we have proper thoughts, and if we rectify ourselves enough so that even our casual speech is rectified, then we are praying and hoping that all of this comes out into the world and does what it should does, and it's blessed. And the winds take it where it needs to be taken. Like you're making a video and you're really hoping that people watch it and enjoy it and like it. Okay, this concludes our meditation on the first psalm in the book of Psalms. What do you think? Please leave your thoughts in the comments below. If you like this video, please hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and I will see you in the next video. This video was made possible through the kind support of my sponsors over at Patreon. Patreon is a great way to help independent creators like myself produce original content. If you'd like to get more English language videos from me, please consider becoming a supporter via Patreon. You can find the link in the description below. Thank you very much.